This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Guys, we've made it. I mean, even a pandemic can't stand in our way. Since March, we've been waiting and waiting and hoping and praying that we would get to today and football would happen. And guys, we are within 12 hours. We have made it to opening day of the NFL, Chris Canty. So a very good morning to you.
Yes, Dave, it's a very good morning. I'm so excited for the season. The 101st year of the NFL, they're kicking off tonight. And, you know, after everything that we talked about with the coronavirus and wondering whether or not the pandemic would allow football to happen, we finally got to this point. They were able to make it through a preseason. Now, granted, no preseason games, but teams were able to make it through training camps without outbreaks to the degree that the league had to revisit their plan on whether or not to start the season on time. But we actually got here. And the defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs, are hosting the Houston Texans tonight. It's going to be a great matchup. Two top five quarterbacks. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, should be a good game, and it'll deflect a lot of conversation from, I know, something Rick doesn't want to talk about. But happy opening day of football to you, Rick DiPietro.
You can take your good morning. You can take your happy, you know, NFL third. You can shove it. Okay, you can shove it.
No, don't do that. Just because you're heartbroken over the Islanders last night doesn't mean that the football season doesn't start today. We shouldn't be excited about it.
That was worse than the 8-2 drubbing.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
I'm gutted. I mean, after that game, I actually tapped Rocco on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, bud, you know, can I join you? You take the right one, I'll take the left one. I need something."
It was bad.
That's brutal, Dave.
Well, they were the better team last night, too.
They were the better team. I mean, they had plenty of opportunities on the power play.
That 5-on-3 really was a repulsive.
The beginning of the 5-on-3, yeah. I mean, when they actually had the 5-on-3 was brutal. It was brutal. And then to lose, I mean, they lost Killorn, so now you're down to 10 forwards. And then they lose their best player, Braden Point. You saw what he did in game one. He's out, so now you're down to 9 forwards. I actually wanted to jump through the TV screen and punch Eddie Olczyk right in his face. And I like Eddie a lot. But he makes a point during the game. He's like, wow, you know, you look at Matt Barzell, what he's doing, best player on the ice tonight, just like Braden Point was the best player on the ice in game one. Well, big difference, Eddie. Braden Point had 5 points when he was the best player on the ice. Unfortunately for us, Matt Barzell had 0 points when he was the best player on the ice.
Yep,
crushing 2-1. Crushing 2-1.
I'm sorry. I know you.
They roughed up Brock Nelson pretty good too yesterday, didn't they?
They went right after him. Yeah, as soon as they smelled blood in the water and they went after him.
And you got a penalty too. And you had the lead, and you let it get away. And then and I'm not making fun of you. I will probably later, but I'm not at this moment. That goal was 7 seconds. I mean, that is as brutal as it gets, really. I mean,
that tripped the guts out.
Yeah, that's just
is awful. It a wrap, Rico? Is it over?
It's pretty damn close, depending on the injury situation. I mean, we'll see what happens with Killorn. Maybe he gets suspended a game, and we'll see what happens with Point. But, I mean, there's no excuse for that. I mean, they had multiple chances, too. And didn't I say this yesterday? You got to keep the puck away from Vasilevsky, like better dumps. Keep it away from Vasilevsky. And, of course, that goal starts with Vasilevsky handling the puck. Semi-breakaway. And you're like, okay, that's it. Good save. Let's get to overtime. Then there's another chance. Okay, you survive that one.
Yeah.
And then you got McDonough making a... How you let... If you're Ryan Pulock, why you have your stick facing Varlamov as opposed to, you know, protecting against the pass to Kucherov on the back door makes no sense to me. Makes none
all right.
At all.
Well, we'll get into the Islanders a little bit more later. I know you're upset about it, and I understandably so. But ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests today on DCRP via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. NFL season, it starts tonight. So, Chiefs, in your mind, Rick, Chiefs, Ravens, best two teams in the NFL, or would you not go that far?
I think right now, I mean, since we haven't seen best two teams in the NFL or best two teams in the AFC?
No, in the NFL. Like if I gave you... Now, obviously,
no.
We haven't seen, so we don't know what's going to happen and things change. But,
no.
But so you don't think those are the best two teams. Where are you going? Saints? Niners?
I think it's at this point, haven't seen no one play any games. I would say it's the Chiefs until someone proves otherwise.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Niners. I would put the Saints up there. We still have to see what Tampa looks like. I mean, just see if they can actually, you know, figure this thing out and get the, you know... I mean, they're learning on the fly. We'll see what that looks like early on. I'm sure, you know, first couple weeks will look a little bit sloppy. But I would say right now, I would say Kansas City and the Niners. Two best teams.
So the teams we saw in the Super Bowl last year, you would go with the two best teams this season again. Until proven otherwise.
Until proven otherwise, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I have no reason why. There's no reason to not have those as your two best teams. Then you mean two best teams as far as, like, to win a championship, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay,
correct.
I mean, until Baltimore wins a playoff game, the jury's still out.
Yeah, but you got to think that's going to happen eventually with Lamar Jackson, right?
Well, it better happen this year.
Peyton Manning didn't have a hell of a lot of success early on in his playoff career. So, I mean, he turned out to be okay, won a couple of Super Bowls. So, I mean, Lamar Jackson has got time, and he's still relatively young. I mean, in comparison to all the other quarterbacks that you would consider his peers, Lamar Jackson is younger by a couple of years. I mean, it's crazy to think the guy is 23 years old and already has an MVP under his belt. But that's where he's at. I think the Ravens will be fine. I mean, I would probably put them and the Kansas City Chiefs as the most complete rosters top to bottom. And then when you consider that both of their head coaches have experience winning a big game, I would probably say those are the two top teams in the National Football League.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Certainly in the AFC and probably in the entire NFL. And then, listen, the Niners are a really good team. Really good football
team. They're a good team. But here's the thing, Dave. I mean, to get to the Super Bowl and to lose it, I mean, usually when you start talking about Super Bowl losers, those teams take a step back in the following year. So we'll see what happens. Now, I think they have a loaded roster, too. But we'll see what happens. I mean, they've got some moving parts. They got to bring in Trent Williams as their left tackle. He hadn't played football in a while. I mean, they lost to Forrest Buckner on their defensive line. So we'll see what happens with them. But, I mean, I think they'll still be there because I believe in John Lynch and the synergy between he and Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan is one of the best play callers in the NFL. The 49ers will be fine. I still think the class of that division is the Seattle Seahawks, though.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So if you were asking me to power rank my top five in the NFL, I would go Chiefs, Ravens, Bucks, Seahawks, and then I'd probably be talking about the 49ers.
Wow. So you, sight unseen, you have the Bucks as the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I believe in B.A. and I believe in Tom Brady. I don't think Tom Brady's washed up. I think Drew Brees is more washed up than Tom Brady is. And when you look at the weapons that Tom Brady had to work with last year, in terms of skill position cores, PFF had them ranked dead last since they've been tracking the stat back in 2006. That's how bad the skill position players for the Patriots were in 2019. So you go from that to having what he's got down there in Tampa. I mean, come on. We'll see what happens with Mike Evans in the hamstring, but you still got Chris Godwin. You got Rob Gronkowski. You got Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. They just signed Leonard Fournette. They'll have plenty of weapons for Tom Brady to distribute the football to. Not to mention they shored up the offensive line. So that defense came along in the second half of last year as well. I'm a believer in what the Bucs are doing. I really am.
I think we all believe the Bucs are going to be good. I think it might take a second. I don't think you'll see them at their best until maybe, you know, after the first couple games of the season.
Well, you say that, Rick, and I can understand why you would go there because you got a lot of new parts. So, they've got to figure things out. But Tom Brady, since he signed with the Buccaneers, have been hosting workouts down there in the Tampa area. They've been getting a lot of extra work in, more so than the rest of the teams around the National Football League, just because everybody's excited that they actually have a quarterback. They have a chance to put together a successful season. So, I mean, we'll see. I expect out of the gate against the Saints that you're going to see the best of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's a big game.
That is a huge game.
Right. And you know what we have to talk about, which doesn't get a lot of discussion? We'll open the phone lines up to the NFL, 800-919-3776. I mean, you have no home crowd. You have no home field advantage. So a place like New Orleans, which you look at as a daunting place to play, loses all that luster, all that appeal of the crowd going crazy. Seattle, right? Kansas City. I mean, it's non-existent this season.
Yeah, the only team that really has a home field advantage with no fans is Denver, really. Just because
of the altitude. Yes.
Seattle, too, because that's a hell of a long way to travel. It's a hell of a long way to travel for anybody. So, I mean, you're right. That not having fans in the stands changes things a little bit. But I'm actually interested to see how teams handle that, Dave, because, I mean, you're going to have to manufacture your own energy. It's not like you're going to be able to run out the tunnel and get that rush of adrenaline because you got 80,000 fans screaming for you. Like, this is BYOE. You got to bring your own energy. And there are going to be certain teams that are capable of doing that more so than others. I mean, you can kind of see a glimpse of that down in the NBA bubble, but this will be to a different degree when you start talking about football. So I'd be interested to see the teams that can manage that situation, the difference in, you know, the game day experience and be able to overcome all of those things and still go out there and execute at a high level.
What are the chances that Dallas ends up being one of the best teams in the NFC?
They could.
I think it's a pretty good chance of that happening. I look at the Dallas Cowboys roster, and I don't see how they don't have success this year. I really don't. I mean, it's hard to imagine. If they don't have success, I mean, it'll be either
then
the
what?
Quarterback is not as good as we thought he was, or Mike Nolan couldn't get the defense to come around. And I don't think either one of those things will be true.
That was really the issue with them last year, too. I mean,
they better win that division, though. I mean, they better win that division.
I mean, the NFC East is alternated, right? And, you know, Philly ends up winning the division last year, so it would just make – I mean, Washington and the Giants aren't going to win that division. It would make sense that now it's going to be Dallas' division to win. And you can point to – I mean, you can look at Dak and what he did against good teams. I mean, you know, week 17 going up against Philly, and Philly was just, you know, decimated at the wide receiver position, and somehow Philly, you know, finds a way to win that game. But, I mean, let's be honest. Dallas' defense was not very good last year.
No.
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 So, I mean, if that defense gets it turned around, I mean, with the weapons they have on offense, I mean, that could be a scary team.
They could be. I mean, I'm worried. As a Giants fan, I look at Dallas and I'm like, oh, my God. But I don't know. It feels like, and it has been this way for the last, what, 25 years, that they just find a way to not get it done. And I'm hoping that just continues. They're talented. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, their right tackle's out now. And I'm not saying it's huge, but there's little things. Their right tackle's out now. And is their defense going to be great? I don't know. I wait to see on Dallas. Am I concerned? Yeah. I think they're very talented. And that's a concern.
Yeah, that should be a concern. They got a lot of talent on that team. And so you would think about Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff that they have down there in place. I know they can do the job. I'm assuming that the coaching will be better than what we've seen from the Dallas Cowboys in recent years, just because those coaches have resumes and they've had success in other places. Now it's just a matter of, can the guys that are in that locker room put it all together? I mean, there are lofty expectations for that team. I guess it's that way every year with the Cowboys because they get more coverage than anybody else in the National Football League, but I feel like they actually have the talent level to match up to what the expectations are this year.
So what are the expectations then? If Dallas doesn't do what, do you look at this and say, boy, that was a disappointing season?
If they don't get to the conference championship.
Really? So if they don't go to the NFC title game, you look at Dallas and say they didn't do what they should have done?
Yeah, because they're running out of time, Dave. I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep this cast of characters together. At some point, you're going to have to address Dak Prescott's contract. Even if you try to slap another franchise tag on him, that's still a big number. And with the cap taking a step back, potentially going down to as low as $175 million in 2021, how are you going to keep all of the pieces that are locked up on this team? You can't. So you have to have a higher sense of urgency to get that done. Like, to me, this is compete at a championship level. And I would say if you get to the NFL's Final Four, then that's a successful season. Obviously, you want to win it. But if they got to that point, then you would say, okay, that's a successful season.
Yeah.
And you could justify paying Dak Prescott his contract demands.
Right.
If he gets you to an NFC championship game, you could stomach paying him $40 million a year.
Yeah, you got to get the Rams accountant. You want to keep paying everybody.
Yeah, figure out a way we can pay you, and we can pay you, and Jalen Ramsey, and the quarterback. And, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Whoever their cap guy is, he's doing an amazing job. Amazing job.
Here's the other thing, too, with the contracts. Canty, let me ask you one more question about the Cowboys, just to get Santiago all fired up.
Okay.
I mean,
he must be crazy. Anyway.
Oh, he's got to be losing his mind. Yeah. But they keep freeing up cap space. I mean, I know they said there's like little interest now, but do they go after Earl Thomas here at some point?
Earl Thomas is out there, and the longer he stays out there, you got to think the asking price is going to go down, and maybe he doesn't get the long-term deal that he's looking for. Maybe it's a one-year deal, and if you're Earl on a one-year deal, is there a place that you would rather go other than the Dallas Cowboys?
Seems like a match made in heaven, right?
Yeah, especially with their safety spot. I mean, Darian Thompson is playing one of them, and they've got Xavier Woods at the other one. I mean, they're serviceable, but, I mean, Earl Thomas would clearly be an upgrade. So you got to think in a year where they're all in, you know, if Earl Thomas is in the realm of possibility, they would make a play for him.
How great would it be if they went into L.A. on Sunday Night Football and just got hammered by the Rams? And we could just, you know.
Hey, listen, it could happen.
Start the show.
Hey, Dave, it could happen.
I know it could.
I mean, that's probably the most even matchup on the Week 1 slate. I mean, you look at all the games, that's probably
hysterical.
The most even matchup.
Why are you hysterical?
You can't help yourself. You can't do it.
Well, what did I do?
Well, we're spending this whole time trying to pump Santiago up for his Dallas Cowboys, and you can't help. Of all the games to pick, how great would it be?
Well, I'm not trying to pump him up.
No, I know, but you're trying to tear him down is what you're trying to do.
Well, I'm just trying to look at it from my perspective. Dave, I don't care about his perspective.
And you wonder why he trolls you consistently on Twitter. You're a bad guy. You're a mean guy.
How am I a bad guy? Chris, come on, defend me here. How am I a bad guy? A Giants fan, and I want to see the Cowboys go to L.A. and get beaten up by the Rams. How does that make me a bad guy?
No, you're a bad guy. Because we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and them actually having a chance to live up to the hype. And then you want to say, well, how great would it be if they go out to L.A. and get hammered?
It would be great. It would be great.
Not just lose. Get hammered.
Hammered. Like running special trick plays up by 42.
How great would it be if the Giants did this?
Oh, you think the same way? When the Giants play the Steelers Monday night on ESPN at 7:15, and if they get hammered, you'll love it. So don't give me anything different than that.
I'm actually picking the Giants to win that game.
Forget about that, picking that. If the Giants get hammered, you would love that.
Eh, not necessarily. What has it been, like 5-6 years of this already? I'm getting kind of old.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with Santi on that one. I'm over the Giants getting beat to sleep. Like, at some point, this league needs to turn around. We're not used to being in Jets territory.
You know what the weird thing is, though, guys? Giants. I look at them and I don't have huge expectations. I think same for the Jets, right? You look at them and you don't have huge expectations yet. I cannot wait for Monday night. And Rick, I would imagine you can't wait for Sunday at 1 o'clock. That's the hope you have every start of any season is just, I cannot wait for this thing to start.
Yeah, especially the NFL. I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL. Now, I mean, do the New York teams legitimately have a chance even with the extra playoff team? You know, probably not. But still, I mean, you only get 16 of these things.
I mean, everybody's undefeated right now, so everybody can dream. Although I will say I have higher expectations for the Giants than I do the Jets. Like I feel like the Giants will be competitive in that Monday night game. I don't think the Jets have any shot of going up to Buffalo and winning.
Really?
I could be proven wrong, but I'm just saying I think the Giants at least have a chance on Monday night.
I feel differently about that. I just think because it's a division rival. No, I mean, there's going to be no crowd in Buffalo. It's the first game. I mean, the Jets should have won week one last year against Buffalo. I mean, they had the 16-0 lead, end up losing that game. I think people are sleeping on Pittsburgh a little bit, man. Ben looks like he's in shape. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things coming out of Pittsburgh. They got one of the best defenses in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, the question ain't about the defense, though. The question is about the elbow and the right arm of their quarterback.
And it's not the same kind of, you know, Chris, you know this too. I mean, the familiarity when you're playing against a division rival is it makes those games a closer game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. Although I look at the talent level on the Bills and it's by far better than the New York Jets. I just don't see the horses for the Jets. Like, I just don't see the actual players, the guys that can put their imprint on the game. I don't see it. I don't know where it's going to come from. If it's not Sam Darnold, then who's it going to be?
Frank Gore. You guys are laughing. I'm telling you right now, he's going to carry the ball a lot in that game.
I know he is. I can't imagine your reaction if we turn on the mics.
But is that a winning formula, though, Rick? Think about that. Like, he's going to carry the ball. Frank Gore is going to carry the ball a lot. Is that how you win? Is that your path to victory if you're the Jets?
No.
Come on, man.
No, for nobody. I mean, he's 37 years old. If he gets 23 carries and Lev Bell gets 12, you'll go crazy.
You know what? Hey, you know what's amazing to me, too? I was listening to the K-Show yesterday. And you know they were playing some of the audio from Sam, and Sam was talking about Lev Bell, and you know how they were going to use Lev Bell and everything else, and you know we're going to use him, you know, and we've talked about this a couple different times, you know, out of the slot, you know, lined up outside, you know, all these different, you know, ways that he can be used that he had success with in Pittsburgh, like now all of a sudden we're gonna start using those things. Well, what the hell happened? Isn't that the job of the head coach / offensive coordinator is to do those things that Lev Bell does well? Like, now, what did we wait for?
We're going to sneak up on him in 2020, Rick.
I found myself getting aggravated.
We're setting it up for 2020.
You're so easily aggravated with the Jets, though.
Santi, do you have that clip of what Darnold said? You listen to that. You're not even a Jets fan. You listen to that. You'll get aggravated, too.
But it's a clean slate. It's a new year. It's a fresh beginning. Go in with some
optimism.
It's
a fresh beginning. Okay, by the way, it's a fresh beginning. Correct. But, I mean, have we not already seen enough or heard enough coming out of Jets camp between, you know, him not getting any snaps because apparently he's got a tight hamstring, which he says he doesn't, and then he's taking reps with the second team? That doesn't concern you at all? And the coach is apparently in love with Frank Gore and how he runs the football.
We know he loves Frank Gore.
So why would I sit here and expect to all of a sudden now have a head coach that's fully on board with drawn up plays that play to Lev Bell's strength? I should feel good about that?
No, I don't think you feel great about it.
No, I mean, listen, hopefully I'm wrong. But I heard that clip yesterday and I found myself like legitimately getting aggravated. Like, I know you don't want the guy. I get it. You think he got too much money. He doesn't fit, you know, the way you like to, your running back to run the football is not your cup of tea. Well, guess what? He's on your team and you're paying him a ton of money.
Exactly. And if you're not going to use him this year, when are you going to use him? Because they're probably going to cut bait with him after the season. So yes. You might as well get what you paid for. I mean, you're giving the guy $33 million in guaranteed money. You might as well get some mileage out of him before you cut him loose. To me, if he's not touching the ball 25 times a game, I don't know what Adam Gase is doing.
Listen to this clip. Play the clip, Santiago. Tell me you guys don't get frustrated listening to this.
I think for us, you know, for Le'Veon, we understand kind of more of, you know, what he can do and what he doesn't like. So, you know, we're going to be able to use him in ways that we've seen before, some ways we saw last year and some ways that we saw in Pittsburgh. So it's going to be fun for others to watch, you know, whether we're splitting him out wide, having him run some routes in the slot, you know, running routes out of the backfield and, you know, doing what he does best and run the football out of the backfield.
Very creative. New ways to use him.
Ingenious. Very creative.
Very creative.
You didn't just sign him this offseason.
They've got new ways. I look forward to that. Sunday at 1. Now let me make a note. I'm going to see new Lev Bell ways, creative. Great. Now I'm even locked in more on that game.
If that was Daniel Jones saying the exact same thing about one of your running backs, you'd be losing your mind.
Well, being that it's year two, of course I'd lose my mind. You had year one to be creative and figure out ways with him.
Well, no. I mean, isn't that what you would do? Like, naturally, okay, we just signed Lev Bell. One of the, I mean, as far as his ability to catch the football and run the football, one of the best in the NFL. Wouldn't you study what made him so great in Pittsburgh and incorporate that into your system when you signed him?
That would make sense, yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, my God.
And you wonder why this team got off to the start that it got off to. That makes my head warm. I want my head wants to explode.
This is the time for you to be optimistic, though, Rico.
Yes.
This is the time. If you're going to be optimistic about your Jets.
You're going to have 4 months to complain about this
team. Yeah.
You're going to have 4 months.
I got nothing left. I'm going to be honest. I got nothing left. Emotionally, I'm just, I have nothing left
to
take right now.
Starting on Monday morning, 8:55, Jets lose. We're going to lead the show. You can have 2 hours and 5 minutes of just destroying them and how they use Lev Bell and why is Frank Gore getting all the touches and whatever you want to do. Today shouldn't be that day.
I got nothing left in the tank. It looked like my Mets were going to lose.
The season didn't even start yet. You got nothing left in the tank.
What do you want me to tell you right now? Did we all expect the NHL playoffs to be going on right now?
No.
No, but they are. I'm in the conference finals. And I got my heart ripped out of my chest last night.
So you're deflecting. You're so pained and bothered by the Islanders' loss last night that it's carrying over to your Jets conversation.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Conforto saves our season potentially. We come back and win that game.
That was a hell of a
when
catch,
Diaz
by
doesn't
way.
Blow yeah, it. Familia, I mean, the bullpen was good. Porcello was bad. I mean, the starting pitching is a mess.
Stinks.
But we win that game. So I'm all fired up. I think we're going into overtime. I got Devon Taves decided to take an icing. Are we sure that Odell's favorite defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk didn't touch that puck on the icing?
Oh, here we go, huh?
Yeah, he couldn't help himself, Dave. He could not help himself.
I swear he touched that puck. That ends up in the back of your net. I'm going to need to regroup before Sunday. I'm going to have to regroup.
Take a breath. Ira at Staten Island. Ira, good morning. I know you're positive about the Jets this season. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Of course. Good morning, Dave, Chris, Rick. Rick, man, you got to chill out, bro. You sound like we're 1-6 already. I mean, I know the Islanders lost, the Mets lost, but just
the Mets won, Ira.
Oh, they won. Okay.
They won.
Well, the Islanders lost. Just relax. You got all this anxiety built up, and we're not even lined up to kick off yet on Sunday. I mean, I'm glad the season's starting. I think the teams did a great job across the board, you know, dealing with the COVID so far. I think we'll see how that's going forward. It's easier to say the Saints and the Chiefs. We really don't know with this pandemic here how it's going to play out with the teams. But you know what? I think the Chiefs will win tonight. I I'm just throwing it out there. I like the Saints and the Patriots because it just makes – it just seems calmer. You got Brady against Belichick in the Super Bowl. And for Sunday, I agree with you. You know, Gase got to figure out a way how to use Bell the correct way. But don't be shocked if Gore ends up having 15 to 18 carries.
Oh, my God.
And
probably
gets about a dozen. Don't.
And you want me to calm down. Ira, you want me to calm down. You just tell me that. I got Canty saying that he has – He doesn't like our chances at all going up to Buffalo to win. And you want me to all of a sudden just calm down and take a deep breath and not worry about it.
Well, let me explain one thing. I'm not saying they're going up to, and they're going to win, okay? This is a really tough spot. The Bills are a much better team. One thing, it's an empty stadium. That place is raucous to play in, so there's going to be nobody there. Number two, you're talking about 10 to 20 mile an hour winds and a 50 to 60% chance of rain, okay? What does that tell you to do? Run the ball. So if this offensive line could play the way we're hoping they play, and Gore and Bell could get themselves going, you know, maybe we'll make this a competitive game. Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, expect the worst. You won't be disappointed. But the bottom line is, the start of the season, none of us thought we were even going to get to this point. So let's try to enjoy the best we can. And you know what? If the Jets get blown out, we'll complain on Monday. And if Jets upset the Bills, we'll be ecstatic.
There you go.
You know, I can't get wound up right now. It's only Thursday.
See, Ira's got the right mentality. And I appreciate the call, Ira.
Ira doesn't have a newborn. Ira does not have a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and a brand-new baby. He doesn't have it.
But he did at one point.
No, he did at one point, but he doesn't now, so he can afford to calm down. He's actually getting sleep. His hockey team isn't in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, there's a lot. I got a lot going on right now, Dave. I got a chipmunk living in my garage.
You should take a rest day.
I mean, between changing diapers and the kids and everything else, I mean, this is crazy. The amount
I feel like you're overwhelmed
here
at the moment.
A little bit overwhelmed. Yeah, you could say that. I'm up late. I'm up. I watched that entire game because I have all the sleep banked up. That's run out. It's too much, Dave. It's a lot going on right now, Dave. Changing diapers. I got them wiping the kids. They got homeschooling.
I feel like your breaking point, though.
Poop everywhere.
A little concerned. Poop everywhere. Why is that?
Odell would be in Odell would be in heaven at my Odell would be in heaven at my house. Might send him a care package.
I'm sure.
Stop it. Stop it.
What?
Stop it.
I mean, you're going off the deep end here.
That last night was a tough night. That game was tough for me to watch. I mean, that was the game you needed to win. You had to.
Now, that game ends, and it ended what time? Late, right?
Yeah, late.
Like 11, 10:45?
Yeah, close to
11. Like that.
Yeah, close to 11.
All right, now, how do you go to sleep after that? Like, can you get into bed and just turn it off, or are you tossing and turning and up and miserable, and this is a terrible sleep night for you?
I couldn't go to sleep. And then like I told you, I had a little booby time, and then I was out. A little warm breast milk put me right to sleep.
I don't know what we're supposed to do, Chris.
What Dave, do you mean? You asked me the question. You
Dave,
want me to,
you
I'm
can't
to
stop
tell you the
him.
Truth.
You can only hope to contain him.
Well, I can't contain. I cannot.
Well, when he says stuff like that, just keep the conversation moving, Dave.
I hope the Cowboys lose on Sunday night against the Rams.
Going. You just keep it going. There you go. Exactly.
I'm like Frank Gore. I'm like Frank Gore going up against the Buffalo defense.
Yeah,
can't contain
good luck
me.
With that. Good luck with that. Well, here's the thing, Rico. At least you're going to find out whether or not your offensive line is fixed. We can be excited about that.
Well, I would have been more excited.
Going up against Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes and Tremaine Edmonds, you'll find out if your offensive line is fixed. You'll find out.
And you'll find out if your wide receivers can actually create separation against one of the better secondaries in the NFL.
Yeah.
Or if your cornerbacks can hold up against
too much negativity.
Stephon Diggs.
I just hope he makes it out of the game healthy at this point. I'll take
who,
that
me
as
the,
a win.
Who, me or the team?
I was talking about Sam Darnold, but I guess I should be talking about you too.
Oh, and on top of
it, make it out fine.
Rick, oh, here's the other thing too. To add to this cornucopia of a mess, which is my life. Just so you guys know, and you'll feel good about this. Once we do get back in the studio, I will be CPR certified because I had to do that yesterday too.
Look
oh, really?
At you working on another skill.
Nice.
Look at you.
Yeah, so I had to do that online course yesterday. I'm only halfway through it.
Online course. Isn't there supposed to be like real practical things you do though?
Yeah, exactly right. But I have to do the online course first. Got to watch all the videos, answer all the questions, and then on the 16th, I got to go actually do the dummy and everything else, chest compressions, all that stuff.
Now, how wrapped up are you going to be for that? I mean, you're going to be in bubble wrap going to that thing, multiple masks.
Yeah, it's going to be there'll probably be a suit involved, I would imagine.
A hazmat suit, I would think.
Yeah, like when like you saw the picture of Putin when he went and see the people with COVID and he had the baby. I mean, that sends the right message, doesn't it?
Is this for high school hockey coaching? What's the genesis of getting CPR?
Yeah, this is for coaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be a nice skill to have too around the office.
It's a great skill.
Know how
it's
many
a beautiful
breaths?
Skill.
I go 30 chest compressions followed by two rescue
mouth
breaths.
To mouth.
A little mouth to mouth. Tilt the chin back, open up the airway. I don't want that tongue clogging up the airway.
Look at you.
Learning about cardiac arrest, secondary
I hope you never
cardiac
intubate,
arrest.
Though. When if you intubate, that's going too far.
Yeah, that's at that point. At that point, I'm hoping the EMS have showed up.
He's going to start calling for a little. Let me get a Chem 7, a panel here. The EMS will show up and be like, I got this.
I got this. Don't worry.
Stand back, please.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Let me get a scalpel and, and some oxygen.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to need a pen. Give me a pen.
That's like, right. You MacGyver of the
tracheotomy. Give me a pen, Santiago.
That's right. That's epinephrine. The NFL film stuff, Canty, is second to none. I mean, it is the best stuff out there.
Oh, yeah, it's the best, Dave. The best. NFL films, the productions they put on, man. I mean, it gets you fired up. I don't think anybody does a better job of chronicling the game than NFL films.
No. Steve Sable, Ed Sable, I mean, they're just pioneers, really.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that's how I fell in love with football, Dave. I mean, that's where it started. Watching the NFL films, the breakdowns, and then, you know, actually having a chance to understand what I'm looking at when I was a kid. And then, of course, Lawrence Taylor jumping on the scene. That just changed everything for me. New York City kid, watching him do his thing.
My God.
Bill Parcells roaming up and down the sidelines in Giant Stadium.
Still best defensive player you've ever seen?
I mean, to me, that's a hard one, Dave, because I loved Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
The late, great Reggie White. I mean, to me, he was probably the most physically dominant defensive player I'd ever seen. But Lawrence Taylor's right there. I mean, they're 1A and 1B to me.
Right.
But Leonard Williams has to be somewhere on that
list. But LT revolutionized.
Shut up, really. I hope Frank Gore gets 20, 30.
Why would you do that, Rico? Why would you do that? Dave and I are having a serious conversation.
It's a beautiful conversation. We're having a moment. You got to come in. Leonard Williams also.
Bad guy, man.
Because you know
bad
why?
Bad guy.
I'm going to tell you why, Chris. This is why. He's miserable. I appreciate this because I'm like this as well. He's miserable. He probably didn't sleep last night. That goal was 7 seconds left him heartbroken. He can't even discuss the Jets rationally. He's all depressed about them already in advance. And his goal right now, knowing the misery he's going through, he's going to take everybody down with him. Everybody that's around him. If you have a life jacket or not, he's going to grab onto you and he's going to do everything in his power to pull you under and drown you. That's what you are today. That's what you are today.
We're not going with him, though, Dave. We're not going with him.
No.
You know what? Our Giants are going to creep up on some people this year. I've been doom and gloom about the New York Giants the past 3 years, and I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I've been right. They've been the worst team in football in the last 3 years. They got the record to prove it. But I think this is the year things get turned around.
I think we see
real signs of the Giants getting this thing turned in the right direction. We're not going to be able to say that about the Jets at the end of this year. And
so
Rick
we'll have
that.
A better feeling about the Giants at the end of the season than we will the Jets.
Exactly. And Rick already knows that. He agrees with me. I mean, he heard Dan Graziano say yesterday, like he has a hard time seeing the Jets have a successful season. That's what everybody is saying. We don't know where it's going to come from. Now, we hope that, Sam Darnold can prove himself to be the franchise quarterback because I think we all believe in the talent. But when you look at what's around him, I mean, it's going to be tough, man. And I get the argument that you want to say, well, Sam is supposed to elevate the play of everybody around him. That's why you took him third overall. But if you look at what most teams do around young quarterbacks that they believe is their franchise guy, they actually put talent around him. Look at what the Arizona Cardinals did this offseason. Didn't they go and make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins from the Houston Texans?
Why were the Jets not involved in any, like, Ngakoue, no? Hopkins, no? Why were they involved in none of these deals?
That's a great question. That's a great question. That's a great question. And maybe your Giants can sneak up on another top five pick this season.
You're a bad guy, man.
Well, this is what he's doing. I tell you, he's miserable.
Well, how am I supposed to be in a good mood? Canty keeps telling me that the Jets stink. My Islanders lose. I mean, what am I supposed to be? I mean, I'm broken right now. What can I tell you? Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know how to answer that question, Dave. I don't know why you wouldn't be more involved. Because Chris is right. When you look at the teams that have young quarterbacks, I mean, at this point, I mean, what Cleveland's done around Baker Mayfield, what the Buffalo Bills have done around Josh Allen. I mean, even what Denver's doing around Drew Lock.
Yeah, well, look, they drafted, right? They drafted Speedy
Jerry Judy
in the first round.
Baltimore,
I mean, they bring in Stephon Diggs to Buffalo.
Yeah, what Baltimore's trying to do around Lamar Jackson. I mean, let's not act like they didn't take Marquise Brown in the first round last year and they didn't draft J.K. Dobbins in the second round this year. Not to mention all the tight ends that they have and the offensive line that they have. Like they've built their system around Lamar Jackson, and they've put talent around him. Like all of the teams that have quarterbacks that they drafted in the 2018 class, especially those first-round guys, they've pretty much put pieces around every single one of those quarterbacks, with the exception of Josh Rosen. But the Arizona Cardinals went with Kyler Murray, and you see what they're doing.
Poor Josh Rosen.
I don't understand why the Jets wouldn't follow suit. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But maybe Adam Gase feels like he knows better.
And maybe that's part of it, too. But, I mean, it goes back to the conversation we keep having. I mean, we're putting so much emphasis on the season because Sam's in his third year, and we still don't know whether Adam Gase is a good head coach or not. But, I mean, Joe Douglas clearly doesn't have that same kind of urgency, doesn't
he? No, not at all. Just the opposite.
You didn't give up a first – they did not give up a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins.
They gave up a negative contract in David Johnson, and a whole lot of money to DeAndre Hopkins once he got there.
But the Jets could have done that.
You could
have made that same offer.
DeAndre Hopkins has the best hands in football.
How differently would you feel about the Jets right now, Rick, if you had DeAndre Hopkins, Jameson Crowder as your starting receivers?
No, and you have Mims, too. I mean, when he gets healthy, you'd feel completely different.
You'd feel totally different.
Totally different.
Because DeAndre Hopkins being there makes all of those other guys better. He makes Crowder better. He makes Mims better. He makes Herndon better. He actually makes Le'Veon Bell better. Like, DeAndre Hopkins becomes the guy that defense is key on and say, we can't let this guy beat us. That takes pressure off of everybody else, including Sam Darnold. Wouldn't it be nice if the Jets did one thing to try to take some pressure off this kid? I mean, from the moment he's got here, the spotlight has been on him.
They haven't done him any favors. I mean, that's the truth. They haven't.
And you're right. And I understand that this is a long goal for Joe Douglas, but you still have to give the kid weapons that he can at least – try and succeed this season.
But you also have to understand, like, I get what he's doing. Like, I understand it. Like, you got to get the franchise healthy. I get it. You know, with draft picks and money and everything else, cap space and everything else. But you also have to realize, you know, this is New York and where you at, where this team is at as far as, you know, how they feel about their coach and their quarterback in this team. Like, you have to, there has to be some context to, you know, the decisions that you make. Like, if you get off to another slow start, if they get off to another bad start, Jets fans are going to lose their minds. It happened last year. We took phone calls. I mean, how many phone calls did we take last year? We had 1-7. Well, I would quit on Sam Darnold and draft 2 if I had the chance.
If he has a bad year, that's what everyone's going to want. Everyone will want to move on from him and take, you know, the kid from North Dakota State or Ohio State or Clemson. Everyone will be on that road. If he has a terrible season.
Which is exactly what you don't want. Which is why I don't understand why they didn't do more. I get you want to fix the offensive line. That's great. But still, I mean, you do need to have, you know, skill position players that teams are afraid of at least, or that you can rely on.
At least one.
At least one would be nice.
I'm with you on that one, Orico. I mean, I would have absolutely traded that second round pick that ended up being Denzel Mims for DeAndre Hopkins. Like, if that deal was out there to be made, 100% would do it.
Well, but especially if you knew going in, or at least had the inkling going in, that this at some point Jamal would be such a problem that I would have to trade him. You're going to recoup draft picks trading him.
Well, that's why you had that conversation early on in the offseason, and you got to get an idea of what Jamal would want, and then you're more aggressive about shopping him. That way you can bring back the assets that you would need in order to facilitate a trade with the Texans or whoever else had a skill position player that you might have been interested in that could help your young quarterback. Like, that's the part of it that doesn't make any sense with what direction the Jets are going in, knowing how important of a year this is for Sam. I mean, if Sam doesn't show you in year 3 that he's your guy, chances are he'll never show it. And then where's your franchise? You're starting from scratch again, and you're trying to use another high draft pick or draft picks in order to get a franchise quarterback that you can develop.
But you've done
when
him
all
no
you
favors.
Had to do was develop the one that you already had in-house.
Right. You've done him no favors. Like, if you get to the end of the year, and maybe he's not going to be good. I don't believe that. I still believe in him, but maybe he won't be good. But if you get to the end of the year and you're like, boy, he's not a very good quarterback, and you've given him this, And I'm not saying Jamison Crowder is bad, but there's no 1A receiver on this team. There's no one guy that you look at and say, we have to stop him. If you've had 3 years of this quarterback and you don't have one player that you look at and have to game plan against, is that really fair to him?
It's not fair to him, Dave, but you're not going to be able to give him the benefit of the doubt after 3 years, regardless of what the franchise has done. Like, I just feel like that's one of those situations where if he has a mediocre year, maybe you go into 2021 with him penciled in as your starter, but you're going to bring in some competition for him, whether that's a veteran from around the league or someone that you use a draft pick on. Like, I don't see Sam having a so-so year and Joe Douglas deciding to stand pat at that position because it's too important. And the likelihood of him having three subpar years and then proving in year four that he's your guy, I mean, that seems like it would be far-fetched. I mean, we're skeptical about Mitch Trubisky. You know
yeah, but
saying?
Here's the scary. But Chris, here's the scary part for me. I mean, can you, with such an important decision, right? Like, I mean, that's the most important decision your franchise will make.
Yeah.
At that position, right? Can you make an educated decision on Sam Darnold if we're sitting here talking about all the different reasons why he probably shouldn't take that next step?
No, you can't. But if you keep asking yourself the question of whether or not he's your guy, eventually you're going to have to land on that being no. And what I'm saying is this: Joe Douglas would have had 2 years with Sam. And he would have been able to see up close and personal what the kid is capable of doing, having the insight of knowing the game plan and knowing what Adam Gase and Dowell Loggins is asking him to do. And if Sam continues to look inconsistent, then, I mean, yeah, even though it feels like it's stacked against him, you probably got to look at other options at the position. You do. I mean, you can't allow one player, even if it's your quarterback, to hold your franchise hostage to keep your program from moving forward.
And I just don't. Like I just don't know. Doing. Yeah, but I don't know if you've done enough. You've done enough around Sam Darnold to really.
You can't get an accurate evaluation.
Exactly.
Of him. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But what
that scares the hell out of me.
But what I'm saying is, because you don't know, it's still not going to help Sam in terms of making the case that he should continue to be your guy and that you should commit to him long term.
No, you're not wrong. But I would rather like we're at a point where I would like to have the answer to that question. Like at the end of this season, I would like to know, like just like, you know what Cleveland did? Okay, coach isn't the right coach. Let's bring in Kevin Stefanski. So we answer that question. We know he can coach. Let's clean up the offensive line so that's not an excuse. And then you got all this offensive talent around Baker Mayfield. If he can't win with this, well, we got a pretty good idea that that's just we got to move on. He's not our guy.
Oh, I completely agree with you. But, Rick, I'm telling you, the way that this thing is set up, I mean, you're not going to be able to get an accurate evaluation if Sam struggles. Like, if Sam struggles, you can point to Adam Gase as the play caller and as the head coach. We don't know if he's good at that job. You can point to all the skill position players and say you don't know if you had enough. Like, there are already reasons built in as to why Sam wouldn't be successful. So if he isn't successful, it still doesn't answer your question of whether or not the kid can play. And that's after year three. So my point is, from a program building standpoint, how many chances are you going to give this guy?
No, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's what, I mean, what you just described is what bothers me the most.
Yeah, I hate that too. I hate that too. Which is why it goes back to, why didn't you just hire Mike McCarthy, the guy that you knew wanted the job, the guy that had 125 wins on his resume and a Super Bowl? Why didn't you hire that guy? He's actually developed young quarterbacks in this league. He developed Alex Smith. He developed Aaron Rodgers. You've seen him do it. It's no guesswork. You answer that question. That's not an excuse as to – again, Rick, that's another piece of the equation that helps you evaluate the quarterback.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, most importantly, the guy calling the plays, we have questions about. Offensive line is brand new with the pandemic and everything else. How long does it take for them to gel? Can they protect the quarterback? And then, you know, the skill positions are a huge question mark.
Huge, huge question mark.
So how do you properly evaluate the quarterback if he's dealing with all those things?
That's my question. You might get to the end of the year and still not have answers, and it might be no fault of Sam Darnold's whatsoever. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage that you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Let's go rapid fire through some of these calls. We'll do that next, and then we'll get into the NBA and baseball, both the Mets and the Yankees with good wins last night, getting you ready for day one of the NFL. So, do you guys want to do a frenzy at 10:15 today? A little baseball talk, 10 o'clock, NBA, into a frenzy?
Do you want to do frenzy today? Or we want to do frenzy tomorrow.
Listen, it's on the table for both. I mean, it is the start of the season.
I think we saved the frenzy for the first football Friday of the 2020 season. That's just me.
And that's fine. You want to save it for tomorrow? We could do that.
Because I have, I mean, I could do a CMT. If we want to start doing CMTs, bring CMT back for Thursday.
And do, I think like we should do CMT football one day. I think we should do a frenzy at least one day. And I think we need to do, what's the other thing? Oh, observations one day also.
Well, we do a frenzy. I mean, a Friday frenzy we always do. And we always
and
do
maybe
one day
a Monday
frenzy.
Frenzy too.
Yeah, so, I mean, there'll be two frenzies.
Yeah, so we bookend the weekend with the frenzy. And then maybe a Tuesday and a Thursday observation CMT. And then away we go.
Yeah, we could do something like that.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't mind. All right. Got a CMT ready for today, if you guys would like a CMT for today.
You really do.
Like, yeah, I do. Really, I have a CMT.
I would like a CMT for today. I feel like today is a CMT day. Kind of get the blood flowing.
10:30 CMT.
The juices going.
10:30.
10:30 CMT? I'll be ready.
10:30 CMT. Let's go to Andy.
I'm trashing everything.
Of course you are. But you're not participating. You set us up. We participate.
You mentioned bases too, Dave. Tell me the first thought in your mind. Watching that Mets game last night, Familia on the mound, that ball that hit second base, that you're like, oh, here we go.
Of course, because you're it's like Pavlov's dog. Familia takes the mound, Diaz takes the mound. You're like, oh god, it's gonna fall apart here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
That was my first. I was like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah, you're conditioned to it. As a Mets fan, you are conditioned to these guys come into the game and things are gonna fall apart. Fortunately, last night. You know, once a week, it didn't fall apart, and they got things done. It's a good win last night.
That was a huge win last night.
It was a good win last night. We'll get into baseball right at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Let's go to Andy, our dear friend, who must be heartbroken after the Islanders' devastating loss last night. Good morning, Andy.
David, I apologize to Sherry. I trashed your basement last night after the game. Rick, I'm gutted with you. But let's go to football. It is football season. Tuesday, we did the Jets. Today we do four questions of the Giants.
Oh.
Starting with, boys, which Giant holds the longest reception, 99 yards in franchise history?
Victor Cruz.
Yes.
Who's got the longest run in franchise history, 95 yards?
Dave Meggett.
No.
I'm joking.
Tiki Barber.
Tiki Barber.
Against the Raiders, right?
You got it. 95 yards versus the Raiders.
Yep.
Who holds the longest field goal made in Giants history?
I'm thinking it's Ali Haji Sheik, but hang on. Let's think this through.
Did he do the camel clutch in between field goals?
Man, go ahead.
I know Rosas hit a 57-yarder.
Come on, David. This is your category.
Man, make him humble.
You have any idea, Canty?
I have no clue, Dave. No clue.
It's got to be Rosas. He is the biggest. I mean, it has to be Rosas.
57's got it's.
Ricky Rosas is correct. 57 yards against the Bears. And finally, what former wide receiver holds the Giants' record for their longest punt return, 87 yards?
DeSean Jackson.
What? Really? Really? That's what we're doing? Come on, man.
What is the matter with you?
Come on, man.
Is it a Monty Toomer?
It is a Monty Toomer. Yeah. Great.
It's not a Tuma. It's not a Tuma.
That's 4 for 4. That's brilliant stuff right there.
Stay healthy, guys.
Well, Dave, I expected us to go 4 for 4 when we're talking about the Giants.
Yeah,
I understand. That's expected.
Well, it's hard when we have this hindrance to the side, though.
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't understand why he's trying to sandbag us. Well, he wants to be Johnny Raincloud.
Don't you understand? See, I can understand because this is me. He's miserable. Anything around him that he can make miserable, he's going to try and do.
So you understand?
I do.
Rick, how correct am I? You've tactics before.
This is my way of life. Of course, I understand. Of course, when the Giants stink, all I have is to root against the Eagles and the Cowboys and all these other teams that I can't stand. Yes, I understand what he's doing, but I'm not going to let it work. I refuse to let it work.
Doesn't that seem like a perfect opportunity, though? I mean, if I'm doing play by play or I'm the analyst on a Giants game when Amani Toomer is playing. I mean, it just seems fitting that you would do the Arnold Schwarzenegger, wouldn't you? It's not a tumor.
I think that would get old pretty quick, though.
Amani, it's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Perfect.
All right. DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.